All right. Like I said, I enjoy playing with graphics when I get a chance. If you haven't guessed, this morning we're going to be talking about social media. And first off, I just want to preface, because it's already been commented when I've talked about this morning study, I'm not condemning social media. I'm not condemning any actions that happen on social media. I'm not condemning any recent events in certain companies. None of that is what we're talking about this morning. If you follow any of the big tech news, basically, if you are a major website, you are being hounded on right now. And that's not what we're getting into this morning. We're getting into specifically ourselves and how we utilize these different tools that are out there. I also want to make clear, I understand not everybody here is tech savvy or really messes with Facebook and Instagram and all these other websites and networks. But that doesn't change a very important thing about these networks. Whether you use them or not, other people are. In the past 12 months, there has been 409 new users to various social networks. And if you don't quite understand what I'm talking about with these, we're talking about, you know, Facebook and stuff, these sites where you set up your own profile. And with that profile, you can communicate with the world. You add friends on there, you find your family and your buddies, and you add each other to your accounts, and you can easily communicate with one another, share photos, share videos, talk about this or that. This all got its start back in the early 2000s. I think the first big social media site was MySpace in about 2004. This took the world by storm. It launched, and within the first month, only a few hundred people was using it. Within 6 months, everything had a MySpace link on it. If you remember going to like movies and watching television on and commercials and stuff, everything would have a MySpace.com/whatever. So everybody knew how to get there, how to find out more information. It essentially, for a long time, replaced the idea of having a website in general. But here we are today, and there's a usual growth of about 10% yearly of how many users are on these websites. At 10% of the amount that are 10% of the amount that are currently using them, that equates to about 13 new accounts every second. So with 70% of the world population using these websites, we actually find out that the current time spent looking at phones, looking at web pages, scrolling to find out who said what, who posted pictures of this and that, we have 10 billion hours a day spent staring at a website. And like I said, this morning I'm not condemning those that use it. I'm just giving a clarification of just how impactful this technology is to our world today. What does this mean to us? What does it mean that, you know, everybody is jumping on their cell phone real quick to find out who said what or to message somebody, check in on someone else, to find out who said what in Hollywood or whatever the purpose you have for it is? It means there's an audience. There is a massive audience out there. This morning we'll be in Matthew 12. And though I'm sure the audience of Christ, when he states the words that we're going to read this morning, had no idea the level these words could take, I really think that God still had that message in mind for us today. I think Christ, in his godly wisdom, knew that we're not just talking about what you say in a crowd of people or around a dinner table. I think he truly knew that 2,000 years later, a simple person in Kennett, Missouri, can type out some words on a computer and the world would be able to hear it. So Matthew chapter 12, we'll be starting at verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you be evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out that which fills the heart. The good man brings out his good treasure, what is good, and the evil man brings out his evil treasure, what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. A little heavy. A lot of talk about vipers and evil. We're going to break this down a little bit. What he's getting at, what Christ is trying to get across to those that were listening and those that are reading now, is who you are isn't how you try to portray yourself. Who you are is the actions and the words you speak. Christ is telling us that we can try to put up a front, we can try to display ourselves as righteous, we can try to display ourselves as approachable, as good. We can do all we can. We can dress ourselves up however we want. But it's actually the action and the words that actually come out of your mouth when you're not trying to put that front up. That's who you are. It's the words you put out when you're not taking a moment to prepare yourself. It's not like the words that it's not what you want, it's what actually comes out in your frustration. But starting off, once again, social media is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. I have a strong connection with my children who do not live in the same state as me. At a moment's notice, I can go and look up photos. I can message them. I can call them, find out what they're doing. I get to see their school projects. I get to see what they're doing. Allie is not from around here. She's able to keep up with what her family is doing, her parents, her siblings. She can have that connection with them. It's a connection that we just couldn't have even 20 years ago. I was raised in the military. We did a lot of traveling. We weren't always home for the holidays. We weren't always able to just drop by whenever we wanted. And as family can attest, time can go by, and outside of the occasional phone call, you're almost forgotten. You kind of forget that your friends and family back home are still living out entire lives. And it isn't because you mean to or that you're just setting them aside. It's just day-to-day catches up with you. But that is not the case now. It's not the case for those that are involved. Now, you can live out your lives as if they're right there. You get to see children growing up. It's not a year later, suddenly, what happened? Where's the little kid I had before? You get to find out and almost live vicariously through those that you have an association with. And it doesn't even have to be a close family. It doesn't have to be a great lifelong friend. There's many people that live vicariously and just almost think they have a relationship with celebrities. Celebrities love social media. They get to pretend like they're best buddies with you. They get to post incessantly about what they were doing. And with that, we need to think about what we're doing. Because we still can have the mindset that I'm just a nobody in the middle of Southeast Missouri where it takes me 10 minutes to explain where I'm from to those I meet. Often it is the case, and take any moment to just do a little research when you can. My words this morning, or what I might type out, or what in the video I post on the internet later this afternoon, could be seen by millions. It could be heard by billions. Your post about what you did this morning, how rough it was trying to get up this morning to go to church, could be seen by a random person in Russia. And that's what I want to get across to everybody this morning, is being able to realize the internet is a whole new beast for us. Often we can say something today, a week from now, we don't even remember saying. But much like how God told us, every word will be accounted for. Much like it, the internet does not forget. The internet has brought about wonders in communication, wonders in technology. A simple message can be spread around the world in an instant. But much as easily as a word can be spread, it's also permanent. For a while, I worked in tech consulting. I did PC repair and computer troubleshooting as a side gig. And anybody interested in that idea, please really rethink that, because the minute you tell somebody, yeah, I can fix your computer, everybody's there. But one of the things I often had to deal with is, I don't understand why this won't go away. I typed something out and I was really frustrated, but I deleted it, but everybody's still seeing it. Why is everybody still seeing it? The internet doesn't forget. When you go to remove that and it disappears in front of you, if it was interesting enough, if it was worth enough to somebody, that picture of it has been saved. It has been spread. It has been taken everywhere. And we need to keep that in mind. Because often we think, because it's a computer, it's because I can make it disappear in front of me, makes it disappear forever. Much like when you speak in frustration to somebody and you offend them, you anger them, you can't take that back. It doesn't change because it's a digital format now. So what we're getting at this morning is, are you living out the same life that you have standing in front of someone as you are on the internet? Because your reputation, your witness as a Christ-following believer, doesn't disappear because you logged in. If just because you logged in doesn't mean you get to take on a new persona. Oh, it's not a big deal. I didn't do it at church. So what we're going to talk about here is, are you living the same witness Sunday morning when you sit down on your phone or on your computer and you log in? So, ways that we can do this. Probably the first thing, and probably the most challenging thing that we can do about this is, are you responding in the right now mentality? What I mean by this is, how different our actions can be when you take 5 seconds to think about it. I'm guilty of this, and I'm sure everybody else here is. You sit down, or you get to talking to somebody, and you're in that heat of that conversation. You're in that back and forth debate. And you start getting frustrated because they're just not getting it. And then you just lash out with the most ignorant thing you can come up with to shock them. And you're like, yes, I got them. Put them in their place. And then you take a breath and like, wait. This is amplified when you're on the internet for two reasons that I can really come up with. One is the internet feeds that impatient impulsiveness because everything's at your fingertips. You type in a word and then everything you could possibly imagine about that shows up. I want to know a baking recipe. I type in what I want to bake, and then you have 15,432 recipes for a cookie. Take your pick. So is the same thing when we're on the internet. When you're on that Facebook, you're scrolling through, and then you see so-and-so posted the most ignorant thing. How can they agree with that politician? I'm going to get them right now. And you start writing the manifesto of the ages, explaining why this person is ignorant and how could you possibly believe that. You get that out there and you're like, yes, got it. I've made the point. I have solved all political problems. Oh, man. Let's get rid of that. That was a little too personal. Got you. Because the minute you hit send, anybody that has any association with that person has seen it. And you know, if you're vile enough, if you're brutal enough, screenshot, share, send. Oh my gosh, can you believe they just lost it? It doesn't ever go away. It doesn't disappear. While in college, I kind of did a small group, similar teaching. But this was back when MySpace was still the thing. Everybody had a MySpace. Everybody was making the most hideous homepages with blinking graphics and a song that you just can't get to stop playing. And you dreaded going to anybody's profile because who knows what song they're about to have just auto-playing on their profile page. I did a small group discussion kind of talking about the same thing, not quite as in-depth as I'm going this morning. But part of it was I did a demonstration of how you can't just delete things. There's many tools out there for those that work in tech and really anybody that wants to take a couple minutes to learn how to use it that spend all their time archiving every web page there is. If it has been on the internet for any real amount of time, You best believe there is some computer in some basement somewhere in the world that does nothing but search out that page and save it. And one of my favorite tools that I've used, and I actually used it for the church to try to recover some of the web page when it went down years ago, it's called the Wayback Machine. The Wayback Machine does a great thing where you can navigate to a website. So let's say myspace.com or calvarychapelkennett.com. Pick your favorite website. You type it in. At first it says, brings up today. Whether that website exists now or not, it'll navigate there. And there's a wonderful sliding bar where it's just the calendar. And you just slide it back. And as you slide it back, the page reloads to that day. And I did a demonstration with these people where I typed, God is dead, on my MySpace page. I posted it, left it for a few days, got some angry messages from people and said, relax, it's an experiment. And then a month later, I deleted that post. I rethought about putting that up there on the internet. And then a month later was time for me to do this little small group teaching. I hooked up a computer and it says, how many people remember when me, a sophomore in Bible college, posted on the internet that God is dead? Hands went up. Prove it. And everybody pulled out their laptops, couldn't find the post. It's like, did it happen? Everybody thought maybe it's just a rumor. I said, yes, it did happen, and this is how I can prove it. Rolled it back. There's my post. With a tool that took me 5 minutes to learn, I had the ability to pull up any information. And so that's what we're trying, how easy, how simple it can be to pull back those words that you spoke in anger. And like I said, the anonymity and the ability to just get whatever you want just fuels this when you're on the internet. I'm sure everybody here that uses some kind of social media has probably asked, how do I delete that post? And what I'm telling you right now is just because you delete it and it's not easy to find doesn't mean doesn't exist anymore. And just like how it doesn't still exists in the internet, it still exists in the mind of God. God doesn't forget either. And just because we want to roll it back, we want to take a step back and say, I didn't mean it. Let's look back at our text here. But I tell you, what kind of word? Every careless word that people speak, they shall be given accounting for it in the day of judgment. Every word. I think we can give a little leeway here to say that when he says speak, he doesn't mean just verbally. Some of the most powerful words that have ever been brought forth in mankind were written down. The very fact that we stand here today is all because a couple of really ticked off guys at a bar in New England decided they're going to do something about it, and they wrote a very angry letter. And now we have the Declaration of Independence. Every word has power, and God understands that. As we take a look back now. Okay, we discussed it. We get it. Angry words on the internet are bad. Quit harping about it, Heath. We get it. Well, now let's take another angle. Let's talk about context. Bible students out there, what is one of the most important things when you're studying the Bible? We could make the Bible say anything we want if we wanted to remove context. I can make the Bible say it's a good idea to just beat the crap out of your kids if we want to take away context. I can get the Bible to prove that we should all be cannibals if we want to take away context. It's all about context, not just in our biblical study, but in our own interactions. Let's just go with kind of an experiment. I'm in a conversation with Glenn, Patty, and Allie, and we were talking all morning about this and that, and then I get to see a post from Patty talking about reality TV. I put it right in the comments, I hate little people. Now, anybody that has context knows what I'm probably talking about. But those that don't have the context or are big on reality TV, I think I just spoke bigotry about midgets. And those are short. Those with the context of reality TV understands little people is actually a reality TV show about a dwarf family. Now, am I saying I hate people or I just hate a television show? It's all about the context. And that's how it's simply and easily that things can be taken out of context, can be taken the wrong way, because all we're talking about is simple text and no idea what the conversation before or after is. I'm sure everybody here, let's take it out of the digital realm for a moment. Has had a conversation with somebody, and then the telephone game happened. Everybody's familiar with the telephone game, right? One person says something, then another person says that same thing, and the next person says the same thing. 5-10 people later, you don't even have the original word. I have been threatened with legal action before in my life over a simple comment during a humorous conversation. It was actually at a casino. I used to work in one. We were talking about going to a competitor's casino on our time off. Have a night, play a few games, lose a little bit of money, you know, the normal thing that happens when you go out to a casino. I figured I've worked several years at a casino and never played a game. And friends offered to take me out there. And I made one comment, said, we're going to go to competitor's casino name here. We're going to go to that casino and we're going to rob them. Now, anybody in the current conversation understands we think we're going to go win big. Well, a week later, I have a letter stating that basically I have to write or call or some way speak to the lawyer of the competing casino to clarify actions, because they have been notified of a conspiracy of our casino employees planning to rob the competitor casino. Now, not only is this embarrassing because they think I'm really going to go rob a casino, but this affects your employment status when you work in the gaming industry. So after I get that letter at home, I go to work and I'm saying, and then I get the dreaded, please go to HR. And I met with tribal police and a few other people, notwithstanding this current sitting CEO of the casino I worked at. And you can see how that conversation probably went. Long story short, I kept my job, explained that people need to mind their own business. But like I said, it's not just in the digital. Context is key, even when we're just talking to one another. Now, am I saying that you need to basically give the backstory of everything you ever speak? No. Glenn does. What I'm saying is mind those that are hearing you. Mind those that you keep in company with. Especially when it's online. As I said before, a simple comment about how I don't like a TV show can turn into basically a whole critical race theory thing. It's easy to happen. It's simple. And so mind your words. Mind what you do. I'm not saying don't speak truth. By all means, speak truth. But before you open your mouth, what is your end result in speaking this truth? Is it for the betterment of Christ? Is it to serve Him? Or is it to push your own agenda about how you think, you know, how a politician spoke at a press briefing? Who cares? We need to keep in mind that we are representatives of our God. If you are open about your faith and who you serve, you now represent those that you serve. I throw on a uniform that has Medic One's plastered all over it. I run around with medical tape strapped to my side and a pair of trauma shears. I can go into a gas station. Guess what? If I walk in there and purchase liquor, I guarantee you my boss will be calling me before I get home. It's all about representation. Same also. I've been put in my place before. I lose myself. I forget what I'm doing or who I'm representing, and I say something off-colored, thinking it was going to be hilarious. And the next comment is, can you believe the pastor kid said that? So it's all about remembering who you represent. It's even more so when you're not talking about employment. You're not wearing a uniform. It's your reputation. It's who you are. Same goes for that Facebook profile, because I guarantee you, right under the snarky comment you make, you got a picture from a couple years ago when you got baptized. That little Jesus person there, what happened? What happened there? So let's keep that in mind. Let's keep in mind that our witness doesn't stop just because you hit login. Let's keep in mind that we represent God at all times. So take a moment to realize that it's God's reputation that you're dragging through when you want to get in on the off-color joking around. Just keep in mind that you, though you may not be in any professional ministry, those around you are going to take every word you say as thus saith the Lord. So when you want to argue about government decisions or local business decisions or even big business decisions, what Washington, D.C. said, when you want to get into that argument, remember it's thus saith the Lord if you have that reputation, if your religion says Christian on your profile. And you best believe people will use it. It's like, oh, so this is what Christians think. Christians don't. No, we're not. We don't want to speak for the Lord out of turn. So I just want everybody to keep in mind that is the argument worth enough to take away the love of Christ when you're speaking. I guess one final example that might hit close to home for some, but today is Halloween. And for some reason, people wait until October to be outraged that Halloween falls on Sunday. That's the Lord's Day. Why does the devil's days have to be on the Lord's Day? People, is this really the rock we want to die on? Is this the hill we're going to make our last stand? Because the calendar fell funny? But I've seen many outraged over this. I've seen many people just, pastors, every Sunday this month, their sermons have been about the horrible holiday falling on the Lord's Day and how we need to stand against it. That the day is going to come and go. And all that people have seen is Christ hates them because the calendar fell funny. That's going to be the final message. So just take into consideration now, and I'll finish this up and stop standing on the soapbox about this, because I think the point's been driven home. But just whether it's digitally or in flesh and blood, you are representatives of Christ. If you have professed Christ as your Lord, you have professed Him as your Savior, your Master, you represent your Master. Whether it's in ones and zeros on the internet or whether it's in the flesh standing before somebody. When you speak, they see what Christ thinks, or at least that's what comes across to them. So speak in love. I'm not saying avoid the truth. Speak truth, but do it in love. So get off of here and let this go out to the internet and let's see what happens. Because I'm in uniform. I got the Bible here. I've made no mistakes about it that I'm a Christian on the internet. And so I just hope that the Lord's message is spoken. It's not my words, it's Christ's words. So let's finish this up here. We'll take one more song and then we will depart for the morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every chance you give me to be able to speak your word, to be able to share your message. And I pray that this message has been exactly what you would want people to hear. I pray that everybody be able to take these words and that now you can touch their hearts, that you touch their hearts and remind them often that they represent you, that they are yours. Lord, I just want us to always have a constant mentality of prayer, that we're always turning to you, that we always turn to you, depend on you, and speak for you, that we be your representatives, be your light in this dark day. Lord, I just pray for safety, pray for healing those that are sick, those that are broken. Just pray that you touch their lives, that you'd bring healing, bring comfort to those that are struggling today. And Lord, I just thank you and just want to pray blessings over everybody here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.